Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are still continuing to cover ongoing events in Gaza with our friend and journalist Hannah Salah. Hannah, how are you today?
I think that today it's good that we are still alive. Things in my area are a little bit with a reduced airstrikes because I think that they are done with the area. They have destroyed everything in this area and they moved to other areas. So the situation in other areas is very hard today.
And when you say very hard, we have seen, you know, you shared videos with me earlier that showed a 10-year-old girl talking about a family who lost four children, the mother, and then the father and the 5-month-old child were pulled from the rubble. Effectively, they survived, but the rest of the family wiped out. I mean, this is really beyond tragedy. This, I think, the death toll has now gone over 140. We have 40 children and 20 women. I'm correct in saying around that's approximately at the moment.
They have increased. Yeah. I don't have an accurate number, but the children are 41 until now.
Yeah, and so 41 children, and as you've pointed out to me when we were talking, there are people missing in the rubble effectively as well. Hannah,
last night was hard in Shatta.
Yeah, if you could just explain what really happened last night. It seems to have been just shelling on residential areas and shelling on a camp in effect.
Yes, last night they have targeted many residential houses. Two families were killed yesterday because they did not knock on the roof as they say that this policy to protect lives of people, but they directly targeted the house of Abu Hatab and Al Hadidi family. They were in the same building because they one of them is a relative and the family came just for visit and Eid. However, the Israeli airplane targeted the house without differentiating whether there are this family or other families in the area. It is surrounded with a lot of houses. This is one of most populated refugee camps in Gaza. It's called the Shatta refugee camp because it's near the beach of Gaza. So this is the name of the camp. The family included the father, the mother, and their three children. This is the first family. All the family is vanished. All of them were killed. The second family, the mother and the three children were killed. Their age is between 5 and 11 years old, but the small child, 6 months old, was rescued from under the rubble. Their father was not in the house at that moment, so he went to the hospital and he received his only son that is still alive. He is 6 months old. It's very, very small to face this tragedy, actually. The airstrikes continued this morning in many locations and targeted the mosque in Gaza as well. They targeted other residential houses. I think that the bank of targets for the Israeli army finished from military sites, from ministries that in Gaza. They have targeted everything. Now they are considering the residential houses. Before 2 hours, as I mentioned, they called the producer of Al Jazeera, and the Israeli army told them that you have 30 minutes. Actually, 30 minutes, too much. It is too much. They don't give this time to Palestinian families when they ask them to evacuate the house preparing for bombing it. They give them 30 minutes to evacuate the building. It includes a lot of offices for lawyers and for other agencies.
Hate to interrupt the podcast, but it actually has to be done. We have made an appeal to people to try and help us out, to come on board. And we're, you know, delighted with the response from lots of people. But the podcast itself, the platform, the Tortoise Shack, needs support. simple reality is we need it to do more than wash its own face. It needs to have an income stream that makes it viable. And we need people who are listening to go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. If you're enjoying it, if you think that it's worth chipping in and you think that you're getting something from it. I mean,
we're definitely getting some from it, Tony. Just look at Rory there and everything he's done on the housing.
Yeah.
I mean, people are definitely getting some from it. And, you know, that took a long time for Rory to get to that point where it was a huge story and everything came together. But the podcasts played a huge part in that.
Almost 300 episodes of Reboot Republic. And I was talking to Rory about it earlier and I said the usual thing, you know, after years of work, you're an overnight success. And there's no question that Reboot gave a platform to help that and refine that, the things like that and get those stories true and do that. But also, I've just come off sitting in on a podcast with the two Norris and Gabor Mate. And I tell you, it's just exceptional. And, you know, just you do get something for the couple of quid you throw us. You get.
Oh, you do. Absolutely, you do. And don't forget, there's a lot of content then behind the paywall as well, Tony, a lot. There's
loads of podcasts that never go out public. People say to me, oh, why did it jump from 512 to 515? It's going because there's three behind the paywall that you're never going to hear. You know, and there's in the last couple of weeks alone, there was owner Brian Keane, O'Callaghan, Nessa Hurricane. There's loads. And then there's just me and you shouting at each other for 15 minutes if you're into that. Look, we just need you to do it.
And the address again, and I'll just remind everybody of the address, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Now back to your pod. Go on, enjoy it.
To Palestinian families, when they ask them to evacuate the house preparing for bombing it, they give them 30 minutes to evacuate the building. It includes a lot of offices for lawyers and for other agencies. There is a local radio station, Associated Press office. This is the main office for Associated Press and the main office for Al Jazeera with their equipment to cover the current situation. It's very important to mention that since this escalation, the only crossing with Israel is closed. So no international journalists in Gaza since the start of this escalation. My colleagues in Los Angeles Times wanted to come to cover the news in Gaza, but they cannot because air is still closed until the moment. Who is covering is just local journalists, Palestinian journalists. And you know that there is need for international journalists from TVs or even newspapers to come here to cover what is happening because there is a shortage of media coverage about what is happening. The massacres that happen is too much for us to follow up. The number of targets that they are striking too much to target. We are counting the numbers, but there are a lot of stories to speak about. Those families who are who lost their family members or even these families which were vanished have stories behind the scenes of just a military escalation that actually exceeded the means of escalation. It's offensive operation that is happening in Gaza.
So, well, sorry, Martin, I know, did you want to come in?
Yeah, Ursula von der Leyen said she has put the blame squarely on Hamas today. Now, there are protests in Dublin, there are protests in London, there are protests across other cities, all supporting the people of Palestine. How does it feel to have Ursula von der Leyen then completely ignore the opinion of fair-minded Europeans who don't want to see these war crimes committed?
Palestinians here in Gaza are asking about the international community and other nations. They are happy with the demonstrations that they see in Europe, and they want the Arab countries that asked and introduced the normalization with Israel to move, because this is shame when they are killing Palestinians here and they are doing normalization. I think that people in Gaza will be proud of anybody is doing support for them in any country in the world.
And it is disgraceful that Europe hasn't stood up as a whole and said that this is wrong. How are things? Sorry, Tony.
Can I, no, there's one thing I want to go back to the destruction of the building today. That was because it's against international law to interfere with the media. They have blown up the Associated Press American office and the Al Jazeera's office and a local radio station. I mean, I know we talk about it's obviously barbaric what's happening to people, to citizens, to residents, normal residents. But there needs to be outcry from international media that the freedom of the press is something that should not be taken for granted. It should not be deviated from. And what Israel has done there, that is a war crime. I mean, it can't be strong enough on that, Martin. I think it's just, I mean, there. I've seen excuses saying, "Oh, there was a man, a resident in the building who was affiliated with one of the factions." You know, but this is the same sort of rhetoric that we've heard for decades in these conflicts, where, you know, oh, they were moving something to this and we ended up seeing the bombing of a school because of it. You know, we can't condemn, this needs to be condemned across the globe, that you cannot inhibit the press and the work that they're trying to do to at least cover events on the ground so people get the information. Hannah, I'm very conscious that you yourself have been, you know, trying to cover as much as you can. How, you said things were quieter in your area, yet how is things in terms of, say, internet, electricity, and access to food and medicine?
Yes, I'm saying it's calm in terms of number of airstrikes, because the last airstrike was at 6 a.m. for a residential building in the area. But compared to the previous days, it was like a destructive airstrike here in the area. But for the internet service, for even the water, for the electricity, because you need electricity to pump water to the houses in the area. So when there is a shortage for 12 hours, this means that this will affect the water supply inside these houses. The airstrikes in different areas affected the internet services. It is not only in my area, but in all Gaza. The internet service is getting worse. For my house, it's for 2 hours cut, but I think for others, it's more than two hours cut per day. I don't know, but I feel that we are all tired of this. There is no progress in the truce talks between the indirect talks between Hamas and Israel through the Egyptian mediators and the UN. I don't know why it fails, but I think that the demands are increasing, because we started with just demands about the violations in Jerusalem, but currently Israel is leading destruction in Gaza, and by default there is an Israeli siege that ban the entry of the material that we need to do the reconstruction. So we have a new demand about releasing the restrictions on Gaza siege to allow the reconstruction of Gaza, allow the international aid to enter Gaza, because this is the main source that is needed to rebuild these buildings, houses, streets, and infrastructure. And I wanted to explain something, that in the previous years and escalations, when Israel wanted to target a Hamas office, it is not needed to be a military office. Sometimes it is just political office, using laptops and papers and these things to operate. So they used to target only the flat, not to target the full tower. Currently, they are targeting the tower from the roots, and they are targeting the area. So that they are putting a pressure on residents. They are putting pressure on civilians. The number of airstrikes and the huge airstrikes left a huge destruction. It is not only about targeting Hamas. It is targeting about all Palestinians in Gaza who are affected. Even if you are not damaged, you are affected. But all of our houses are damaged currently, partially or fully.
Yeah, when we spoke before the conflict started and we spoke about things, we were talking about things around COVID and issues in Gaza and how the economy was struggling and how things were difficult. And you'd already made the point that, you know, the punishment as such was a collective punishment. It was always, you know, you're trying to work as a journalist. We remember we covered the women who are working in petrol stations to bring in money for their families. It was already really difficult. Now it needs to be obviously reconstruction is going to take a long time. I mean, we've seen the devastation, the scenes, not just the human lives, but the rubble and the streets that have been reduced to rubble. And I think it was the young girl in the video that you sent to me made a really, there was a lot of heartbreaking points, but one of them, she said, when she pointed at it, she said, I can't fix this. I'm only 10. And then she said, they live happily. I live horribly. And it's, you know, it'll haunt me forever watching her eyes as she started to cry. But I understand how... You were saying there's no progress in terms of the truce. So is the only hope that the international community actually do something here? Because without external pressure, and I mean particularly from the US and Russia and from the bigger players, are they the only hope that we can have that something can be resolved here?
Actually, I don't know what to say, but... There is need for support. There is need for the international community to have a good role in ending this suffering for Palestinians in Gaza and in West Bank. Don't know actually what to say.
How are you, Hannah? How are you finding work? Are you finding that you're getting enough electricity to be able to write or to be able to talk? I know there's been a lot of interest in you lately from abroad. How are you finding work at the moment?
It is not about work. It's not about...
Have we lost you?
Hi, Hannah. Are you there?
Yes, but I cannot work and I cannot speak. And if we can end this, it will be good.
Okay, Hannah Salah, please mind yourself. And we are so, you have all support here. You know where we are. Just reach out and we will talk to you very soon. Folks, we will leave it there for today. I'm sure everybody understands the pressure. We will talk to you all very soon.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.